by Jackson Shoes, by Borders Books, by these people, these downtown merchants, I think are key issues in terms of what is going on in the city and what direction we want to go. And do we want to go forwards or do we want to go backwards as is being proposed? The proposal that's being put forward by these merchants is one of curtailing civil liberties further here in Santa Cruz, of unconstitutional violations of people's rights, the violation of the freedom to congregate six people or more over an hour period.
So are you, we're looking at forming a committee, and so if it was
right. I'm talking about what the committee is going to be discussing and why you helped put this point on the agenda. So no. this is appropriate.
You're speaking against forming a committee, basically.
I am speaking not for or against forming a committee, but I'm talking about the issue of why this committee is being formed, and I think I should have some leeway in talking about that. Can I continue?
Continue,
is this
please.
Time going to be...
It was stopped.
Okay. So we have proposals before us to curtail civil liberties, to continue violations of the civil rights of homeless people downtown, of continuing and even deepening the harassment of homeless people. And what I want to put forward, what we need is a garden mall again. We need a plaza. We need the opposite. We need to go in the opposite direction that we've gone. The benches that have been torn out so that people can't sit down, they need to be put back. We have to look at a situation where stalled cars are sitting there and people can't park. I mean, these are part of the reason why there's less business downtown, along with a downturn in the economy.
Finish
and
we need
a better downtown, a more comfortable downtown with less harassment, and that's how business down there will benefit.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
I don't believe that any one of those items made it onto the wall of the first meeting of this committee, indicating that they weren't listening to him, and that they, showing also that they were trying to discourage him from even presenting the suggestions, claiming that, oh, you can bring those suggestions to the committee, but the committee is actually has set up a series of categories before they started based on the testimony coming in. Of course, most of the testimony coming in was behind-the-scenes testimony that had been done in private meetings between Porter, Riley, Crone, or I guess Sugar, prior to the meeting, or meetings in the Downtown Association, which happened the previous week.
Are you against or in favor of forming a committee?
I'm against a committee that is looking
against?
At a way to abate the homeless and drive the homeless out of town.
Yes or no question.
Next speaker.
My name is A.E.B. Brooks, a private citizen and personal explorer. I think that my comments are germane to this issue of forming a committee, especially since one of the council members was looking for more than just anecdotal information. I have two personal reasons that I'm really gratified and appreciative that the council is considering forming this committee. One is about 2 weeks ago, broad daylight, I got to the transit center right after somebody had been maced. I got there right as the community service officer showed up. The downtown hosts were there. People were very responsive. It didn't scare me, but it certainly gave me pause. This was the middle of the day. Well, not middle of the day. It was early evening, but it was broad daylight in a very public place. Not long before, I live downtown, just something I mentioned. Not long before that, somebody started following me home one evening. It was not dark. It was kind of dusky. And I was walking down the street. I got a feeling I was being followed. And so what I did, I started taking a very odd route to make sure I was being followed, because nobody would walk the way that I was walking, and I was still being followed. The way that I chose to handle it is I started singing at the top of my lungs the loudest, rowdiest, most violent clash song I could think of. Within a block, when I looked back my shoulder, I wasn't being followed anymore. I don't know as everybody would be comfortable taking that approach, and I don't know as that approach would have worked for me in any situation. In my remaining time, because I was trying to do this in a minute and a half, and I'm not doing that. All that being said, civil liberties is probably in the top three things that is dearest to my heart. So I recognize the challenges that are before you. I appreciate that you folks, you know, value and appreciate that. But I do really appreciate the that you're considering forming the committee. Thank you very much.
You just heard Anna Brooks speaking to the Santa Cruz City Council. This is the secretary to Tim Fitzmaurice that had the city spending thousands of dollars to remove people from the city council offices, myself, Bernard Klitzner, and Becky Johnson, because she claimed we were harassing her. And actually, we were, of course, simply lobbying for the mayor to put the sleeping ban or increased shelter on the agenda for the winter of 2000-2001. This is the woman who the city spent so much money eventually getting its court suit thrown out, though it did keep us away for 5.5 months. Her concerns about being followed downtown, her alleged concerns about civil liberties being dear to her heart, you can, of course, judge the merits of that based on how she allowed herself to be used by the city. And again, the vagueness about the pepper spraying, that could be an interesting instance because it could be an instance of police harassing someone, but it isn't made clear. I think that you can see the wisdom or foolishness of the amount of money the police spent on this person by examining her testimony. I'm glad that she stood up to speak. I think that she, as everyone else, has a right to speak, but I think it reflects on the way that politicians and people in political office use their staff and members of the community to shield themselves from any kind of meaningful involvement with the public, and also to press their own repressive agenda, which is what Fitzmaurice did with her.
My name is Greg Kindig, and I'm a member of the Coalition for Community Commons, and I have some brochures for the council members. We at the Coalition for Community Commons have a proposal for creating a more vibrant downtown. Pacific Avenue, as the main downtown street in Santa Cruz, is one of the primary community gathering locations in town. I think I'm still on the previous person's clock, maybe.
Go ahead.
Okay. As the main downtown street in Santa Cruz, Pacific Avenue is one of the primary community gathering locations in town, offering dozens of shops, restaurants, public space for people, and vehicle access and parking. Sadly, those who work, shop, and visit downtown share several concerns about the downtown environment, including cruising, loud engines, sexual harassment, panhandling, and obstruction of pathways. And these problems are perceived to stifle the health of the downtown. Hopefully, by creating more space for children and families, arts and events, more people can be attracted downtown to enjoy the dining, shopping, entertainment, and general social experience, creating a more vibrant environment that outnumbers, diminishes, and deters any antisocial behavior. So we have a trial proposal for an increase in pedestrian access. We propose modifying Pacific Avenue to favor more pedestrian access. The location, extent, times, dates, and duration are all negotiable, but we propose modifying Pacific Avenue to favor more pedestrian access from Church to Walnut, Fridays and Saturdays, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., beginning in August, continuing for 6 weeks, with events coordinated by the city with planning and organizational assistance from the Downtown Association and the Coalition for Community Commons, with analysis of the trial project performed by a team composed of city, business, and citizen representatives. Do we limit it to 2 minutes this time?
Minutes.
Oh, okay. I'd like to also tie in the MTS. The MTS proposes livable street measures that enhance neighborhoods and commercial zones. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, Mr. Porter.
I just want to reiterate something that I hope I said, and that is I certainly appreciate everybody coming with programs and suggestions today, but the time when we'd like to hear those valuable programs and suggestions is when the committee convenes. And it would be helpful if people would just say, yes, you should form a committee, or no, you shouldn't form a committee. That's really the essence of the decision before us here today.
Okay.
Next speaker.
My name is Cassandra Brown. I'm also with the Coalition for Community Commons. And we just wanted to bring this forward to you and also to encourage you to do this committee as long as all stakeholders are taken into consideration. So I think that's what you're planning on doing, but we also wanted to put our idea out there so that you would have that in your brain. And we also would like to be in the committee. We just want to say one thing about the benefits of closing some of the traffic down. The would be to improve vibrant, thriving environments. And I think that it could be a solution because there would be increase more people downtown, have more people if you closed off traffic and invited more pedestrian traffic, that it would outnumber the antisocial behavior that seems to be going on. So that's what I'd like to say.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike True. I'm going to honor your request to address the issue of the committee. I would like to say that if there is going to be a committee, I think it is very, very important that if you are going to bring other people in to make recommendations and so on, that you actually appoint those people to the committee, name those people in public so that other people can contact them to make comments to be passed on to your committee. I think this is essential for it to be something that is going to actually have some credence. Thank you.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, Mr. True, our report does include street performers as one of the stakeholders to be included.
May I make a comment on that, though?
But I think these people need to be named in advance of the committee's outcome coming to public light.
And in fact, no committee was named other than Riley and Porter. There was no representatives from any particular groups formed. They were simply taking testimony, and they will go back to City Council with their own ideas. So the notion that a group of people from different segments of the community would actually be sitting around a table talking has not yet happened, does not appear to even be on the agenda of this particular downtown committee, which has said we'll meet one more time tomorrow at 6 o'clock at 705 Front Street with the public there to discuss its what they've heard in terms of the testimony. But they don't consist of people who represent different parts of the community. They essentially have a list of items on their walls, 29 of them given to them by the merchants, and then four, including things like the plaza, which were there already, some sort of old favorites, rather vague general items about civil liberties, but nothing that actually addresses the downtown crackdown that's going on right now downtown, that's where these onerous, selectively used laws are being used to harass whoever the police and merchants want to harass at the moment. And this increased police presence is creating more violence downtown. None of that was on the agenda for them. And again, you're not going to have a committee made up of different people. So that was all essentially either dumped or never intended in the first place.
Comment on that. I think this committee needs to be small, and it needs to invite everyone to come and talk to it. I think people, if you have something to say to this committee, then people should attend this committee to make those comments. I'm writing down what people say here,
right?
But I hope people will come or contact the council.
There's a lot of people that would have been here today right now, but just
Fine.
Cannot do that.
Fine.
And if they have a representative, they can share their thoughts with everyone.
I understand that. We'll talk about representation.
Thank you, sir.
Later.
Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Candy Jackson from Jackson Shoes. I want to thank everyone so very much for listening to the pleas of the community. And at some point, I do apologize for the deluge. I think I'm responsible for most of that. But I'm grateful for it as well, because obviously you've listened. I am very much in favor of formulating the committee. I also have with me three shy of 500 signatures that I've had support from the community to enlist here. Helping to, or I guess also supporting the decision to put together the task force. So I thank you very much for everything.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
a good reason to sign the petition being circulated around downtown that will be at the Streetwise table at 2 o'clock to return benches to the mall, stop the onerous downtown ordinances, set up areas for street vendors. That petition is circulating. If we can present a lot of those signatures, preferably more than 300, it would be a good counterpart to the stuff that Candy Jackson has been doing and to show another segment of the community. It also should be noted that Mike True, the previous speaker, has been repeatedly ticketed and arrested on Pacific Avenue for playing the guitar and displaying or having nearby his CDs that he himself has made, his music CDs. He's been trying to organize around this issue, and instead of having a meeting on the rights of street musicians, we're having a meeting on whether to crack down on everybody harder and what laws to use. At least that's what the agenda is overwhelmingly made up of. Continuing with the city council meeting, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. You can call in at 427-3772, even while this recorded segments are being played here. This is a recording from the city council's Tuesday session, 427-3772. And you can also join me on the streets later today, 2 o'clock on Sunday here at Cooper and Pacific for Streetwise, the organization that's trying to organize to present the concerns of others to the real situation that seems to be developing downtown, the repression of folks downtown.
Hi, my name is Sarah Vincent, and I'm here on behalf of Pharmacy and John Michael Studio. I'm very excited that this committee might actually be formed, and I don't, you know, it's kind of changing my agenda. I was going to come up here with stories of what's happening to our business. Even though it is thriving downtown, we're happy that we moved there. The customers like it. We do have, I'd say, 20% of the customers that won't come there, and it's maybe the more mature customer who's getting harassed and doesn't want to deal with the problems. But just as a worker downtown, I don't know if people realize how hard it is just to go to get lunch or to possibly go and shop, which I don't do, because I can't get from John Michael Studio to New Leaf, or I haven't been able to until the recent changes outside of New Leaf, to get lunch without being harassed. And I feel like my civil liberties are not being looked at all, and that I understand that the homeless and everyone else has their rights, but I feel like they're getting more rights than I'm getting. And it's pretty bad. The name calling, spitting on our windows, all kinds of things that have been going on just because I'm trying to get someone moved. And as much as it bothers me when I get accosted, it's also really depressing to see young kids downtown that are much younger than me that, I mean, I can't say it, but it seems as if maybe there's a drug or alcohol problem, and it's sad, and they're sitting outside the store staring at you. And it's really depressing, and it's not an uplifting experience to be downtown. And I'm glad that people are finally hearing it, and it's definitely not about not caring about society and not wanting everyone to have a place, but I just feel like that I don't want to walk and get lunch is a big problem, too.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Susan Paulson. I'm owner and president of IAC Software. We're not a retail business, but we are downtown. I'm also vice president of community affairs for the Santa Cruz Area Chamber of Commerce, and I am representing the chamber's position on this. We are very happy that you're forming a special committee. We think it's needed. It's needed now, and we are very eager to participate in it. I have one anecdotal story. My business is not a retail business, but we've been in the downtown area for years. We have suffered through people camping out on our second floor balconies, people relieving themselves from our second floor balconies, having to get people out of the bushes when a big customer is coming to visit us, people walking down the street cursing at the top of their lungs and when we're on the telephone with customers. We've put up with that. About 3 months ago, we had actual crime. We came in the morning to find that someone had been stabbed right in front of our employee entrance. It was, I'm sorry to be graphic, a 2-foot-wide pool of blood and about 2 inches thick. I never heard the outcome. It looked like a murder. It was a crime scene. As I said, I don't know the outcome, but I'm sure you have it in your police records. As a result, my employees are now saying that our offices are in a bad neighborhood. They are afraid to go downtown. They no longer go downtown for lunch, and it has certainly caused me to think of relocating the business. So, as I say, this committee that is being formed is excellent. The timing is perfect. The chamber would like to participate on behalf of the businesses downtown, including non-retail businesses like my own. Thank you. We have a letter of endorsement from the chamber that was given to the clerk for each of you.
And this shows a change in the Chamber of Commerce's perspective, although a return to its older approach of essentially knee-jerk support of anti-homeless stuff. Under Michael Schmidt, when he was CEO there, Chamber of Commerce, I believe, endorsed safe sleeping places. And one of the things you may remember this woman saying was that she was concerned about people camping out downtown. Well, obviously, the answer to the city council, one of the issues they have to consider is where can people legally sleep? But you will never, never find such a thing on the city council agenda for this committee, even if we brought it up five times, even though it's an obvious issue and it was brought up by people on the streets as well. This is a taboo issue, and it shows the ludicrousness of what they're doing when they won't even address the underlying causes, which actually they were voted into office to address. It was a major issue in 1998. It was a major issue again in 2000. It was the subject of two petitions, voter initiative petitions, that didn't get the 3,900 valid signatures that they needed, partially because of lack of organization and other problems. But they got thousands of registered voters signing those petitions. What we have here is 300 people on a merchant petition to ask that instead of dealing with the root causes, there be a further crackdown on homeless people. It's not phrased quite that way, but that is in essence what they're talking about as they raise the temperature here. And they don't like to use the word homeless. It's rather the bad crowd that comes into town. Go after the few bad eggs, et cetera, et cetera. But in fact, what is being done is what happened in front of New Leaf Market. A whole bunch of people are being moved along. They're being moved along by putting up fences, by removing benches, by massive police surveillance, and now the merchants want more. They're not satisfied. Obviously, our only answer is to organize against this, to organize for more positive solutions, and, of course, to invite merchants to join us in this once we have an organization that they will respect and pay some attention to. We need to set up street performers, use the street performers' guidelines as a model to set up other performers' guidelines, other guidelines for other groups, I should say, like panhandlers, like skateboarders, like hacky sackers. I keep repeating this because I need people who are interested in this to give a call. You might want to call into the studio at 427-3772 if you'd like, or if you want to call off air at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, or come on down to the Streetwise table today at 2 o'clock at Cooper and Pacific. There's also the meeting tomorrow at 6, the City Council Subcommittee meeting, which resumes this rather token, heavily weighted to the merchants discussion. And that'll be in the McPherson Arts Center, 6 o'clock on Monday. Continuing with the City Council meeting.
Speaker.
Hi, my name is Terry Chambers. I own the hack company downtown for the past 17 years. And thank you very much for forming this, and thank you for following through. I hope I can thank you in advance for that, for really following through with the civil liberties of everyone. And I collected in a very short time almost 300 signatures. One of those signatures was a retailer, myself, and the rest were just the general public from all over the county. So thank you very much, and I do hope that the committee involves the Downtown Association, because obviously that's very important. Thank you. I also have a letter from the Palomar Inn.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, I'm Coral Brune, a 17-year resident who work in the county. I'm very appreciative that a committee is being formed. I would also like to accept the invitation to come as a stakeholder. I would like to come to the committee to share what ideas various citizens various artists, musicians, disabled people would have to say. I would also think an important facet of this committee would be to make sure that those in charge of the public security, which I believe this committee is formed to examine, would know and understand what the laws are before given the right to enforce these upon the people that this committee will be dealing with. And I think that having a discussion to look at all possible people that come to the mall is a good idea, as long as all people are considered. And I'd like to know when we would be able to come to the committee to tell our ideas. If you would announce that, please.
Thank you. Mr. Porter has a response.
Yeah, I would like to respond to that particular question. And what I would suggest, I think we will assume that everyone who has spoken wants to be invited to this first meeting and meetings thereafter. But if there's anyone who wants to be invited and maybe not necessarily speak today, we have a sign-in sheet up here. And if you simply mark it with item number 27 or please invite or something like that, we'll certainly make sure that you're invited when this is convened.
Next speaker, thank you.
My name is Thomas Martindale. I am a 45-year resident of Santa Cruz, lived here and grown up here and worked here my entire life. And I think a committee is a good idea, but I would like to stress to the City Council, do they know how bad the situation really is? I have a wife and two grown daughters who will no longer come downtown because of harassment and issues that have been discussed. And I can tell you, as a small business owner myself for many years, I have heard hundreds of people say they no longer come downtown. So there's an economic effect, of course, but it's beyond that, and it comes back to civil liberties. Those of us who support the community through our taxes and our work, we don't have any civil liberties at all because you're intimidated when you go downtown. And I think that this City Council needs to address that issue. I think the City Council has an obligation to the residents to lead by example. I think the City Council needs to tell the police department to clean it up against lawbreakers. And until you solve society's social problems, you're going to have to secure order. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
In order to secure this order, we need to bring more order into the order mechanism of these city business issues as well. I recommend the privatization of the Downtown Business Association. I recommend a 20-foot-high wall surrounding the downtown. I recommend a diplomatic relationship with a green card in order to get passed through. Maybe we need more electronic surveillance against all those criminal people's mind. Probably, perhaps, we need more order related to how we can make ourselves.
Sir, could you stick to the topic, whether you're in favor of this committee or not?
Yes, I do. I think we need more private enterprise take over the City Council Business Association. And we need certainly more military take over this town. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
And I'd like to point out that Christopher Crone, the Liberals' hope, interrupted the one amusing but very pointed speaker, that was Esteban, essentially making a satirical statement about what this committee was all about, and he hit it on the head. That's exactly what it's about, although he's exaggerating for a comedic effect. And of course, what does Crone do? He interrupts him and tries to tell him to stick to the subject, when in fact he's sticking to the subject a little too closely for Crone's comfort.
So my name is John Tilking. I think that we should make sure that this task force is really open to input over a longer period of time than just 2 weeks, and that it does not simply rubber stamp some proposals that, although they may have got a few hundred signatures on petitions to form the committee, it doesn't necessarily mean they stand behind the specific proposals. Give an example of unintended consequences of some of these proposals. The idea of limiting people to less than six or more people for more than an hour could have an unintended consequence. You could have your ex-mayor, Tim Fitzmaurice, could be given a ticket for hanging out at the town clock with death penalty focus for 2 hours or more. Or people waiting in line to see the first show of the
point of order.
Star Wars movie. Maybe asked to move on.
Excuse me, sir, Mr. Sugar.
These proposals are not germane to this discussion. Those are proposals from one citizen, as far as I know. They may be on a petition someplace. That is not what this council is considering doing. This council is considering forming a committee to hear those proposals, to hear your proposals, to hear everybody's proposals. And so I'd like to know if you think that the establishment of that committee is a good idea.
In principle, yes. However, the timeline that you're proposing is so short that I'm afraid that the proposals that are already on the table in the community will be the ones adopted. That's my concern. And those do include the limit of six or more people gathering for more than 1 hour. It does include that. And I think that some sort of mediation or situational change, such as making the Pacific Garden Mall into a pedestrian-only center, would be better than clearing the mall of scruffy-looking people by setting out for felony drug busts for infraction quantities of marijuana or beating them senseless for feeding the pigeons. And it did happen, according to what my information. If the mall were pedestrian-only, there'd be space for people of different persuasions to hang out on different areas without as much conflict. And I think we should... I really don't think the situation warrants an emergency ordinance, in part because, according to my perception, the people I remember being down there, a large portion of them have moved on by now, partly due to the unreasonable police harassment. We do need to take
your
more
time
to talk to the community about this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker.
Good evening. My name is Karen Carlson, and I hope to be able to answer your question really quick. I was pleased to read and also hear now today that our city leaders are planning on a committee to confront the social issues downtown. But I would like to stress for the second time, meeting with you, some of you folks once and then in another meeting, I believe we need to include a coalition of not only the city council leaders, but also merchant, DTA, citizens, homeless, advocate for the homeless, and the police and the senior citizens. I believe everyone should be in this this group of people who are meeting. I think it's important because that's what makes our downtown. You wanted people living here, we got them living here. They need to put in their 2 cents also. And I also agree with someone who just said this meeting shouldn't just meet now and in 2 weeks and think we've got it all made, because times change again. So it should be an ongoing process, and someone should set it up as that. Thank you, folks. Good night.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Charles Marshall. I live at 1110 Pacific Avenue. That's on the mall. I've lived there for 2 years. I'm a resident of Santa Cruz County for 23 years. I'm a father and grandfather. I'm 73 years old. I love the mall the way it is, and I'm frightened by the idea of you people forming a committee to change what we've got. I voted for Keith Sugar, Christopher Crone, and Tim Fitzmaurice, and I'm ashamed of the three of you for having moved so far to the right since your election. The things you've done have embarrassed me at having voted for you. I would like to see no committee. I would like to see us understand that all of us, that includes the people that you're really secretly planning to do something about, have a right to use the mall, to be there. Young people have a right to have long hair and to not take showers. I don't understand what's wrong with you people. I don't understand why a few frightened merchants and a few frightened people who are frightened because we haven't educated them as to what's really going on in the world because of the way they feel, and there are frightened people, but it's their perception that frightens them. And what we really need to do is to teach them that it's okay to be young, that it's okay to make music, that it's okay to be loud. The only thing wrong that I've seen on the mall has been brutality by your police force.
Next speaker, thank you.
Council members, if this were actually a committee that had a reasonable timeline of several months, I would still be worried about it based on the impetus that's really driving it. We tried to get the sleeping ban dealt with for years and years, and a task force to examine the camping ordinance, which spent 3 months and dozens of hearings, wouldn't even discuss it. The Homeless Issues Task Force recommendations were ignored by this council and deep-sixed. But to claim you can do a committee meeting in 2 weeks and invite all the stakeholders is simply deception. You are responding to a merchant proposal here, and that seems to be what it is, so you can get constituted into law by July 9th. You need a first reading by July 9th. Then you'll need a second reading so that you can get this done before the vacation. This is not being candid with the community and with the public. Instead, I propose that you look at this document, a $10,000 document drawn up at the request of the City Council, the Downtown Santa Cruz Public Policy Mediation Project, and giving it to the city clerk. You spent money on this one already. Look at it. Don't try to ram through more laws. It's going to produce a polarization downtown like we had in 1994 when Mayor Kennedy rammed through the downtown ordinances, which really need to be reexamined. This document was supposed to reexamine those ordinances, but our council has not had the courage to do that. Now suddenly the Merchants Association cracks the whip, and here you are, already to put together a bogus committee that has to form laws within 7 days for them to go on the next city council agenda. By a week from Wednesday, you have your agenda meeting. Then on Thursday, you'll have to have those on the agenda for them to be proposed. You cannot possibly have a fair hearing in that period of time. This is a phony proposal. If you really want to look into it, and I support Candy Jackson's idea that numerous people have to come together to discuss this, let's have a real open process. Let's spend some time on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Hello, let's see. I'm a downtown resident. I live about a block from here and lived here about 9 years. I'm also aware of harassment. I'd agree with the woman earlier that harassment is unacceptable. I like to go downtown, walk around down there, see the musicians. I don't buy like a lot of stuff. A lot of the stores are too expensive for, I think, a lot of people in this town. But the harassment I see is I go there with... go see Food Not Bombs, help out with Food Not Bombs. The police continually circle the area, are watching them, are like any minor thing, like putting a bicycle helmet in a planter, sitting on a planter box is considered illegal, sitting on it, leaning against a statue, and just this kind of harassment is what I see, and I see that's unacceptable. So I would say the harassment is unacceptable. So if the committee's going to change that, I would be for it. But yeah, you wouldn't need the time to do it in. The people that were talking about the mall too, making it a walking mall, I think that's a very, seems like a creative possibility of creating more space. People could maybe hang out more towards the middle, thereby pedestrians could utilize the sidewalks a little bit easier. So that's what I'd be for. I really enjoy a lot of the events where there are, the downtown is freed up. So that's my 2 cents.
Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is Chip, and I'm here not representing anybody but myself. Of all the places I've been on the planet, downtown Santa Cruz is my favorite, and I am very much in favor of this committee. I've been talking to a number of people who have a lot of different opinions on what should happen downtown, and the thing that's really come strong, it's very much not an us and them issue. However, it's perceived as an us and them issue, so I think the communication that you all are trying to initiate here is a very good step. I would encourage an ongoing partnership with all the stakeholders, and in the short term, if you feel you need immediate results, set one priority, maybe two priorities, to understand what the most important issue or issues are. Deal with those issues immediately, but continue an ongoing discussion. Downtown is very important, and we need to continue to talk about it. Also, I don't know the practicality of it, but I think having legal counsel involved on the committee would be very beneficial and efficient, so the committee wouldn't come back with proposals that then have to be returned because of legal issues. So having legal advice working with the committee, I think, would be very efficient. Thank you for your time.
We were wondering about it. How many more folks want to address the council? I see four, five. Could you get in line, sir? Six. I'm going to cut it off after I see six, and so I'm going to cut it off because we need to move on. And next speaker.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm a street performer. And I just want to say that it really does, after hearing the last several speakers, appear to me as though that this separate council is being designed specifically to cater to the desires of a few merchants as opposed to the needs and requirements of everybody. And that's what it looks like to me. I'm in favor of the council, but I think that it should be something a little more publicly accessible than what it sounds like. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker. Ms. Riley?
No, never mind.
Okay. Next speaker.
I'm going to make this.
It's okay.
Is it on?
Tap it.
Not on. There. Okay, I'm going to make this short. I'm not in favor of this committee because the key word used was innovative solutions. We've had no demonstration of innovative solutions from any of the people on this council. Only more rulemaking, only more decorum rules. We have not had any demonstration of politeness. My feeling is that you've taken this town for yourself. The very thing that you're accusing the people on the mall of doing, you have done. You've co-opted these meetings. You've made everything your own. So you cannot lead us out of this because you're causing it. All that's going on downtown is a reflection of what's going on at the head of our government. People taking over, stepping on civil rights. And so you can consider yourself responsible. This is the clearest example of trickle-down that I've ever seen.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, I'm Sherry Connable, and I'm a homeowner at the north end of Pacific Avenue, and I spend a lot of time downtown, probably 4 or 5 days a week. I'm downtown for an hour or two, kind of watching what's going on. I think it is really important that everyone feels comfortable downtown. I think it's also very important that public policy not be based on fear, on prejudice, on misperception, or on perception alone. And I think you're charged with that, that you don't make public policy based on those things. I'm really disturbed. My feeling here is that the decision has been made. This committee is going to be formed. And I don't think you're really asking that question. And I'm very disturbed by the language of the recommendation to address social, behavioral, and criminal issues in the downtown area. On a regular basis, on a daily basis, I see selective enforcement of the existing ordinances. I see discrimination and harassment against people based on their appearance primarily. I grew up female in this culture. I know how insidious discrimination based on appearance is. It is crippling. And that is what's going on downtown. A lot of the time in my perception, I see it again and again. I'm very disturbed by the use of our tax dollars to do this. So I would like to see this committee take up those issues as well. Selective enforcement of the existing laws. What is there about a man who made everybody laugh here, who I saw ticketed last week for sitting on the planter in front of Borders? What is it about him sitting on that planter that makes downtown uncomfortable to come to? That is a ridiculous law. The downtown ordinances, if you read them, are obviously a tool for selective enforcement against certain kind of people, and that is how they're used. And yes, there are some real issues, but there's also incredible discrimination and harassment against some very poor people and people who've made different choices than the dominant paradigm. And I'm not comfortable with that, and I know more and more people who are not comfortable with that and who are really, really just in disbelief that this is happening in this city, and I'm sorry to say this, but I don't know how else to say it, by you, who we thought we knew when we elected you.
Next speaker.
Hi, Brian Koepke. I don't care if the mic's on or not.
Yeah, I'm Brian Koepke. 2 weeks to come up with monumental changes. Does anybody seriously think that in 2 weeks a committee could do anything but rubber stamp some ideas that already exist? I mean, seriously, in 2 weeks a committee is going to come up with monumental changes. Is that even long enough for your city attorney to formulate this stuff into workable ordinances? He's probably already working on it. If this committee comes up with new ordinances for the mall, it's going to be deja vu all over again, to quote Yogi Berra. Am I the only one who remembers the Civil War that took place over the mall ordinances within SCAN, within the Santa Cruz Action Network? I'm not talking about activists or marchers. I'm talking about the people who got most of you elected. And without those people, you'd be sitting at home watching this on TV now. There was a deep-seated division in SCAN when those morning ordinances were passed, or when they were being questioned. On the other hand, a lot of us would like to see a pedestrian-only mall. And 2 weeks is not enough time to come up with that either. The things that you hear complaints about, drug use, relieving oneself in public, things like that, there are laws against these things already. And there's one other thing. And what the committee should really be looking for is the alternatives that we've been seeking all along. A place where the homeless can go to camp so that at 5:30 we're not looking at an exclusionary place.
Thank you, sir.
Where we have somewhere to go besides this mall.
Thank you. Next speaker.
People who spoke from Coalition for Community Commons have a book, Street Reclaiming, Creating Livable Streets and Vibrant Communities. The idea of closing off the streets, I think you need ideas if you have a committee. But just to read you some very brief quotes in here. We need places where friends may stroll, but where they share the same social space with people outside their set, a space that is owned equally by many kinds of people. Without such spaces for the normalization of diversity, a society becomes brittle, unadaptable, fragmented, calcified, and weak. That's a statement from Mike Greenberg from the Poetics of Cities. Some really excellent stuff in here. I must say, sometimes I'm bothered by people's loud voices who may, be what we, it may be disturbing to some people. The thing I saw that was most disturbing was right in front of New Ways a couple of years ago when a policeman was absolutely vicious to a man sitting there, and he didn't like the way the man said who he was and presented his ID and roughed him up. And I called the police review board and didn't get much satisfaction. It was very, very disturbing. I was absolutely unnerved. And I think this kind of behavior is totally uncalled for, and we would expect much higher aspirations in community, having a thriving community that you, as city council members, could advocate. Let's really make the time is up.
Thank you very much. Just a second.
Chris Frost, I hope to get my email and respond. You never do. I toured the Homeless Services Center. I was told by Ken, who is sitting at a line of 10, that you only have one shower. The other shower has been broken 6 months as some kind of collective punishment. You need 6 showers. He told me you need to double the bathrooms from 3 to 6. You need to double the laundry from 2 to 4. Exclusive of Paige Smith House, which is rent, homeless paying rent, like the family shelter, will be a homeless paying rent problem. You only have 75 for 3,300 homeless in the county. You need the minimum program, I think, is 500, 300 in the long building, and 200 in a tent camp. You need shelter before housing. You need Spartan common area shelter for 500. I made a safe haven shelter project initiative. You need landscaping down there in front of the long building. Dig up the asphalt, put some lawn, make it pleasant there at the site to hang out, put some shade trees even around the FSP if you build it. Rittenhouse, you could ask Rittenhouse to do a park. Mr. Rittenhouse would probably be happy to do a park down there across from Cinema 9.
Where do we think that?
What is needed is to address this issue and the numbers it is occurring, which means Spartan shelter in common areas before any more money on housing is spent. That family shelter program, that's a $5.5 million program. You're going to take the people who will probably get off the street anyway, who could get off from dormitory style, even families could get off. You're going to take people and just subsidize rent for them. That's all you're doing in the guise of so-called helping homeless. You're taking the cream of the crop who are going to get off anyway with a little more struggle, even without any of your help, and you're subsidizing their rent. It's not a shelter program.
Your time is up.
Distinguish shelter from housing and shelter.
Thank you very much, sir. Ms. Davidson, you're the 25th speaker, and you're the last speaker. You'll have 1 minute.
Yeah, Ed Davidson, Mayor Crone, Council. I can do this in a minute because when I spoke to the
Downtown Recovery Plan, I had like 2 minutes to tell all the problems of the plan, and I did it in two words, user-friendly. And that's what the problem is here. It was not designed as a user-friendly facility. Now what you're trying to do is have a meeting, and I'm going to talk only about the meeting. And that is the least important time to have a meeting is when the university is not in session. That's first. It's absurd to try to deal with downtown issues when there's no students around to talk about it. Second, you're going to probably have this at a time that's inconvenient to the kind of people who would ordinarily come down and make a fuss about very draconian civil liberties issues. So that the timing of the meeting and
your time
the,
is up.
The reduction of time is what's at issue here.
Thank you very much. I'm going to bring it back to the council. I'm going to close public comment right now, and I think we are going to recess until 7:15.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Fitzmaurice?
We inform the public when we're going to discuss this. Are we going to discuss this at the beginning of the 7 o'clock session, or are we going to discuss it at the end of the 7 o'clock session so people can pay attention on television?
I would say it would come after the item number 30.
It'll come after item
after
30.
After item number 30 on the agenda.
All right, so it'll be at the end of the evening session.
At the end of the evening
session,
people
will have to tune in to hear what our discussion of this subject is.
Thank you.
And that was the end of the afternoon session from the Santa Cruz City Council. Note that Crone again made the decision to put it up to midnight. Actually, didn't show up till 12:30. It was essentially a 20-minute discussion. Could have been done at the beginning of the evening session an hour later, facilitating the many people who came to the afternoon session to talk about it. And note, the great majority of people either wanted a committee that would consider real changes that would make them all more friendly in terms of dealing with the downtown ordinances, dealing with police harassment, opening up a plaza. And instead, the great majority of items, and I'm looking at the identified downtown issues, the handout that was given 3 days later at the committee meeting, has 33 different items, and 29 of those are all essentially sort of related to the Candy Jackson petition and or merchant concerns for cracking down still further downtown, including aggressive panhandling, drug dealing, graffiti, vandalism, verbal abuse, large groups congregating on around public space, public intoxication, setting up blankets and selling items on the sidewalk, underage drinking and drug use, delivering and distributing food on Pacific Avenue, confusion between the police department and the court system, officers need to be proactive rather than reactive, gang activities, spitting, public urination, youth hanging out, public camping, bicycles and skateboards, dogs on avenue, personal safety concerns, individuals eating from garbage cans, street musicians not respecting street musicians' guidelines, merchants and shoppers fearful of signing citations, people leaning on building, storing backpacks, playing hacky sack, individuals or groups soliciting money. Those on the majority side of the public testimony, but on the minority side of the recommendations include, well, I'm going to put some in the middle. Vehicles idling and revving engines. That doesn't really include the folks downtown who are of different sorts. Officers and hospitality guys are not completely familiar with the downtown ordinances. Officers need to be proactive rather than reactive. communication between residents, police, hospitality, guides, mental health, court system needs to be corrected, civil liberties concerns, discrimination by police. I guess it's 5 or 6, not 4. My mistake. But that is still less than 1/4 of these recommendations that were all set up beforehand, and which people were told not to bring up by Fitzmaurice and by Crone. And it's just sad that people can believe that Crone is some kind of civil libertarian when he's acting like this. Now, what I've got now, to kind of briefly interrupt this the flow of this, since we are kind of been doing a lot of stuff on the downtown ordinances, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, I should say, the downtown problems concerns by merchants. I'm going to play for you a little something that actually has some relevance, but it may seem a little bit off the point, but it's not. It has to do with the police department budget. Many of you may not know what the situation is. There's been a lot of cutbacks in budget requests for social service agencies. Here's Martine Bernal, the assistant city manager, on the phone on Friday, telling me about what's happening with the police department budget.
Hi, Robert. This is Martine, getting back to you. The question about police, the police budget. I believe council, and it's coming back to the council on July 9th, in any case, essentially adopted the budget as proposed, in that there are some cuts that were identified in the budget, in the police department budget, a number of positions that were cut. And let's see, I think they did add a, let's see, they deleted a motorcycle purchase. They added back the juvenile diversion program, deleted a police officer, and then also approved participating in the accreditation program, but that's not a, doesn't have a fiscal impact. So I believe that's the summary there. So they added a little bit and took out some more, but essentially, overall, they do get a cut. So hope that answers your question. I'm looking up right now to see what the cuts were. More specifically, I'm taking up a lot of your message. Let's see, they're taking out a half-time CSO and a half, 1.5, a police officer, cutting back on training, travel, dues, and conference. The like I said, the juvenile services, which we had been in the proposed budget, they decided that they'd rather keep that, and then they decided to take out a motorcycle. They also cut back on private security for special events, and also cut back on some of the capital equipment and services that the police building gets. So overall, it is about a $300,000 cut in their budget, approximately. Okay, bye.
$300,000 cut in the police budget. And I don't have the budget figures in front of me, but I think we're talking about a $30 million budget, of which the police make up about a third. So that's $10 million. That's about a what? $10 million, $1 million. It's about perhaps a 3% cut. I could be wrong about that. I'm just kind of working with the figures. But if you compare that with the social, we're going to be trying to do this in the days to come. We actually have two more shows before the final budget hearing of July 9th, when the city council does its final deal or dirty deal on the city budget. So you should, you can still get a copy of the budget at the budget offices if you want to look at it. And the previous speaker's Tom Reveille's comments about follow the money are very important. And this is the money. This is the one time when the city gets to vote, the city council at least, gets to vote on the amount of money appropriated to which departments, and the departments actually have to pay some attention to the City Council's concerns. Of course, the Citizens Police Review Board isn't doing any reviewing, so we don't have any report from them on how much money, for example, the police department has spent on lawsuits. And I'm trying to get that kind of information for the last 10 years, and I've actually got some raw documents on it, and I'm working on it now. And I'd love to hear from all you cop watcher folks who may or may not have shown up at that Thursday meeting at Loudoun Nelson. I've heard nothing from you. I hope you do get back in touch with us, with me anyway. Call 423-HUFF, 423-4833, or you can call the show at 427-3772. That's the live phone line. We're going to be going for another hour. And what I'm going to do now is jump to... I think this is the right tape. I'm going to jump to an interview I did yesterday with a failing tape recorder with a woman who's an employee of Noah's Bagels who observed the... I call it the police beating of Norman a week ago. It was on Monday. This was the guy who was feeding the birds breadcrumbs during a Food Not Bombs meal in the afternoon right there in front of O'Neill's sports shop where Food Not Bombs has its meal. And the CSO instructed him to pick up the breadcrumbs, and I think he resisted it, and the Food Not Bombs people intervened and said, we'll do it for you. And but the CSO insisted on writing him a ticket. He tried to leave. Police began to bully him. And I'm going to play you an interview of an eyewitness on that before we go back to the downtown problems discussion. And the downtown problems discussion, again, is very interesting, but the main key factor here is whether we, the public, we, the folks who use the downtown, whether we're skateboarders or walkers or shoppers or activists or artists, want to get together and do something to stop what is pretty much a done deal unless we stop it. And I'm talking about the way the police are acting down there now, the way the hosts are acting down there now, the preferential treatment given to complaints by merchants now. That's what we need to talk about. That's what we need to do something about. And I think we should get together and talk with Candy Jackson and others who have particular concerns. And I'm up for that, although Candy, has to be willing to come to a meeting. She has to be willing to call for a meeting. She has to be willing to bring her friends to the meeting. That has to happen. But for us to do that effectively, we have to have an organization of people who are willing to say, we're not going to tolerate abuses against people downtown by the police department and the hosts, however much the city council wants to wink and nod and send in the redevelopment agency to say it's okay.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
I tell you, you're bleeding hearts. What a trip. You know, what it's really about, it's a spreadsheet then. It was all worked out several years ago. You know, because obviously operating a nice fancy jail like our jail is very expensive. You know, and when we're putting these dirtbag antisocial people in our luxurious, expensive new jail, you know, we have to deal with having that overhead. But, you know, we're going to run this machine of, you know, of bunny shoes. You know, and they have to make their profit. Sorry, I'm just being a little bit facetious.
No problem. Well, thank you, caller. Anything you want to add to that?
I have the best apartment in Santa Cruz. They're spending like $1,000 a day on me at our beloved Dominican hospital. And I'll probably be on the street myself again next week somewhere. So in my wheelchair now, which I'm trying to find out how to like get that thing armed.
Well, don't spend on too much time in front of the shoe company or the place where Robert Steffen used to sit in his bag, because they may bag you.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, well, we hope to see you on the streets.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye bye.
So let's hear the another eyewitness on what happened, just what happened on Monday, that you didn't get to see too much of in the papers, because old Jason Schwartz, our fine Sentinel reporter, apparently gets all his information from Lieutenant Velasquez, doesn't want to do too much independent research, and doesn't return phone calls either.
We're here at the Noah's Bagels talking with an employee, and you say you saw what happened on Monday.
Yes, I was here.
And you were inside the store?
I was working, yeah.
And what happened?
The guy was sitting there, and we heard the cop car roll up, and we had customers, so we got through with them, and then everyone stopped, including the customers, and we watched as the cops, like, circled them, and he was kind of stuck behind those newspaper things over there, and he kind of, like, flailed, and I think he hit them, because the woman's walkie-talkie was knocked off. And then he ran out into the street. You want to fight? You want to fight? And he said. And then he came back, and they like there was a little rumble right there. And then we all ran to that window and watched
And
sounds like a better show than the movie.
Yeah, it was
really. We ran the other window.
And so we ran up there, and we couldn't really see. It was right in front of Pete's Coffee, and they when we got up to the window, they were sitting on top of him and cuffing him.
What was your general impression? Was your impression that he used excessive force, they used excessive force, nothing of the sort, anything, both?
I don't know why they came up to arrest him in the first place, and it seemed unnecessary.
Throwing breadcrumbs on the sidewalk.
Okay, well, that's unnecessary. And there was,
Was he making any noise when you first saw this?
No, he was just walking.
He was just walking. And how far away were you from the, where about, what, 30 feet from the door here at Noah's?
In front of the newspaper thing. So.
How far were you? Were you here, or you were at the other?
I was right here.
And you noticed him. What drew your attention to him?
The cop car went,
the cop car showed up. How many police cars did you notice were involved in this?
I actually only saw one, but there were three police officers, so they might have been parked farther back.
And how long did all this take?
It was over in, like, under 10 minutes. It was, like, 5 minutes. It was pretty quick.
Much of a crowd?
Yeah, it drew a pretty big crowd.
Was anybody commenting on the police behavior, or was it quiet?
Well, my two coworkers were here, and I was a viewer, so I ran over there, and I saw them get out their club thingies, and that was kind of scary.
did you see him struck?
No, I did not see him get struck.
Say that again?
When he was cornered between the thing, he was kind of, like, flailing his arms, and the woman cop shuddered, and he didn't hit her, and he, like, kind of went for the guy behind her, which I thought was nice of him.
So you didn't think he was deliberately going after police?
They were definitely all fighting.
We're talking with...
And unfortunately, the tape recorder bit the dust at that point. That was an interview yesterday with an employee of Noah's Bagels. Now, in accord with our traditional practice of jumping all over the place, here's a little something from the Sleepwalkers rally downtown last Friday, a week ago. Those folks are on the road, and they're walking up to San Francisco. They should be up at San Francisco City Hall tomorrow. Their objective is to get to Sacramento and deliver to Governor Davis many petitions requesting that he declare that a law against sleep is a hate crime and press for legislation or some administrative action that would overrule municipal codes that violate the civil rights of homeless people every night, making it criminal for them to sleep at night, not everywhere, but just somewhere. Here's a little from that rally downtown.
About 7:10 down at Front of Borders. Susan Dunn.
We don't have to fight the city. I wrote a song about the Star Spangled Banner.
Here, I'll take that thing.
Oh, say, can you say why the poor should not sleep when so proudly they gave their lives for your freedom, and when no one is there, do you really care? I'm doing time for the crime that I've just been caught sleeping, and did you really know when there's nowhere to go, that we're shuffled around in every city and town? Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the heart of the brave? You don't give up. If things are done wrong, it's still your country. You're still a citizen. You don't give up. We learned history in school. That was the biggest mistake they ever made, to teach it to us. And the thing that we learned is, in this country, we ought to have certain rights. It shouldn't have to be made a law that we could sleep. You know, you'd think that that was something you would just know. But we're going to need a law that says an amendment to the Constitution, if it's got to be, you got to be able to sleep. It's a necessity. It's a necessity, so you can't take it away from people because it takes a life away. If we have rights, if we have anything that the Constitution guarantees us, it's a right to life. So that's the life of the poor as well as the life of any other citizen. We're still citizens. And people that are poor hold jobs. You know, I have a job, and I live in the same vehicle that I was considered homeless in another area. But I'm not homeless where I'm at in the mountains. First of all, they can't find me. But it's the same thing, and I don't have to fight the system there. But I also don't have to leave the bus that I now like. You know, it was very difficult with a lot of kids, but it's not difficult anymore. And we are here to walk for all of you who can't walk with us. We've met so many people that couldn't walk if their life depended on it. But all of those pictures of those people that I've met go through my mind when I'm walking on the road. And I know what I'm doing, and I know why I'm doing it. And I just want to invite all of you to catch a glimpse of what you can do. One person can make a difference. If you'll believe, and if you'll just stand up for what's right, you will make a difference. Amen. Stand up for the right to sleep for all people. Even though I'm not homeless, even though we are not in a terrible situation anymore, I'll never forget. I'm not going to let it happen to anybody else's kids what happened to mine. And I know what I'm doing, and I invite you all to join.
It's good you can't bring your dog on the street. Just brought up you can't bring your dog on the street.
Susan brought up seven people. Seven kids in her van, and this man walking by has pointed out it's illegal to walk a dog on Pacific Avenue, particularly if you're a poor person. That's particularly illegal, so you gotta watch out. Now, I believe you wanted to say something.
I will.
All right, so why don't you stand up here? All right, for once, the media will speak.
Hello, one and all. I'm Annie Griffin, and I have a public access television program in Monterey, California. Anyone can have a public access program. I encourage you to go to your local AT&T cable and get on the air and start educating all the people. As John Steinbeck said a long time ago, the people will always be, and we are the strongest. And anyone can get homeless. Don't ever think that you are too rich, that you are too safe, because it can happen to the richest, and it has. Look at the people in Enron. All their savings are gone. Where are they going to stay when they get to be 5 or 10 years down the road and everyone's forgotten them? We have to help the future citizens, because most of us that are poor or even middle class have our wages are just one paycheck away. And you know how ruthlessly you're all laid off and forgotten. And it's the responsibility. We are each other's brother's keeper and sister's keeper. So we all have to do what we can, because you could be next.
Hear, hear.
And that was Lorna from Monterey, who actually had come up to do video work for community TV to cover the right to sleep walkers coming through town. In the studio with us, we have free radio broadcaster Steve Argue, who is at all these meetings, and you've actually heard some of his testimony. He's distributing a new flyer, apparently some sort of treason. Downtown is for everyone. Argue, give it up. You want to say something here?
Yeah, this is a campaign flyer taking up 10 points on going the opposite direction from the direction the city council's talking about with its new commission, and talking about instead making the downtown more comfortable for people instead of less comfortable. Kind of a no-brainer, I think. If you want people to come down and buy things at restaurants and shops, you make it more comfortable. So, you know, basic things like stopping the police harassment and putting the benches back, and also talk about how we could bring back the Pacific Garden Mall if we eliminated the CVC budget and implemented it over a few years, and other ideas in terms of parking and You know, some of the things you've already heard me talk about, some of the things that have been played here on here earlier. So I made a flyer on that and distributing that and, you know, doing my campaign for city council. Now, the meetings for my campaign are 10:30 a.m. Saturdays at 332 Dakota, Unit B. So I want to encourage people to come down and support my campaign. That's the only way I'm going to win is a lot of volunteers coming in and hopping in with it. And because right now we have a city council that does not respect human rights and even arrest people like Robert Norris for a silly little thing like giving him a Sieg Heil to prove him wrong. I sent that to what's his name? I forget. I sent it to a comedian who enjoyed it. And well, the thing is actually the campaign really hasn't fully kicked off yet, and I haven't asked anybody to be my campaign manager yet. I'm still considering that, and I don't know if I have to put out an appeal. If anybody's interested in doing that, they should contact me. You can reach me on my voicemail at 457-9754, box 1169. It's 457-9754, box 1169. And I think already I'm accumulating a lot of names and numbers of people who want to volunteer, want to be part of this campaign, and I'm pretty excited about it, you know, because, you know, not for myself in terms of this, but in terms of the message that I think I have to put forward to take on a city council that pretends to be progressive but violates the human rights of the poor and of activists.
Well, I commend you for your efforts, Steve, and I want to present you with probably the most sinister terrorist weapon that we've seen downtown all week, a large piece of sidewalk chalk, which perhaps you will come show this implement of the crime down at Pacific Avenue at Cooper in about 45 minutes, around 2 o'clock, actually, is when I think I'm going to be showing up with a table and some literature and some petitions, and I think we're going to really try to talk about initiating a cop watch downtown so that we can keep an eye on our police officers to make sure that they're not hurt and that they don't put themselves in violent situations by engaging in what some would say is foolish activity like, I don't know, drawing your baton to make sure that a person doesn't resist a breadcrumbs on the sidewalk ticket. So, Steve, maybe you'll be showing up downtown. Would that be a possibility?
Yes, I'll be there.
Going to bring your criminal chalk with you?
Yeah, I suppose.
This could be an example, and I want you to note this, all you police officers who are listening, of a conspiracy to commit an infraction here. Although I'm not suggesting that Steve is about to do that, nor that I am about to do that, we respect the law, but there is a constitution which may involve a higher law, rumor has it.
There is some question of how much that Constitution applies here in Santa Cruz, but it's supposed to. People have been arrested for chalking, for selling newspapers, and now the downtown merchants actually want to make it illegal for groups of six to gather together. Looks like you got a call coming in.
All right.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's happening there, Mr. Janitor?
Hey, can't complain. So, hey, what do you do when, like you're a homeless person and you're harassed by some asshole? But like another homeless asshole.
Well, of course, it's always a judgment call.
Well, you respect his place and let him go about and say, oh, he's okay. He's just going to get, you know, he's just doing his own thing.
Well,
he's stinking up my act, but I'll just let him be, you know?
Well,
that's what you do because you got to respect his rights, right?
Well, it depends on whether you're talking, is he talking about this asshole with a uniform and a gun on?
No. I said another homeless person,
Another
homeless person. It's the issue you always beat around, Robert. Remember?
Well,
you always avoid it. What about the dregs within the dregs?
Well, I'm not trying to avoid it.
What about the dregs within
me,
the homeless?
Excuse
what about
me.
The jackasses that are fucking putting spotlight
well,
on
I deal with
shit.
A lot of jackasses on the air, I got to tell you, and I'm a very tolerant guy. But what I like to say is you got to be rather specific. I mean, it depends on what the person
I'm
is
being
doing.
I'm specific. How fucking not specific can I be when I say
all right.
A homeless person is harassed
what kind of
by another homeless
hello?
Person?
Hello? What kind of harassment are you talking about?
By somebody hanging around them and being obnoxious.
Well, you can't...
Fucking grabbing people, fucking putting their hands on people when they're panhandling, going up to women, strange women, and putting their arms around them. I witnessed these things. And then I witnessed the people around them after the people
walked by, take a breather.
Them, dude, you're out of line.
Caller,
get the fuck out of here.
Take a breather. All right, what I'm saying, obviously, if it's a criminal offense, you have a right to make a citizen's arrest. Are you aware of that?
What?
Citizen's arrest. Now, it's true the police don't often pay much attention to homeless people trying to make citizen's arrest, but they
No, but just somebody just trying to tell somebody that they're a fuck-up.
Excuse me. If you want a deal, you can always obviously tell someone directly whatever you want. If you want, you can protect yourself. You can use reasonable force. You can call upon people around you to realize what's going on. Or you can make a formal citizen's arrest of another person for engaging in criminal behavior against you.
Well, that needs to happen more because there's some dumb assholes out there, dude. They're fucking stupid. They're ignorant, dude. And they're not helping the cause, dude. They're fucking it up.
Right.
And they need to go, dude.
Yeah.
They need to fucking face the road, dude, and get the fuck up on it, dude. They're fucking, they claim this big nomadic lifestyle, and I'm Mr. Independent Homeless, and I don't want nothing to do with you, but they accept their fucking checks.
Excuse me, caller, have made any citizens arrests yourself recently?
No, I don't care to. I fucking put them in their place right then and there, dude.
Okay, well, that's good. You know,
but
you,
according to you, that's wrong. You're telling me that I'm wrong doing that.
Did I tell you?
You're telling me that I'm wrong for calling the cops to come and deal with... is going to be a jackass to the cops.
No, excuse me. There's no need to start ranting on the phone if you can, you know, first of all, you're blasting my ear away. But second of all, no, I didn't tell you you're wrong. I think people should stand up for themselves. When did I tell you you were wrong?
So downtown is standing up for itself, Robert.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you mean by arresting people for sitting on platters and throwing breadcrumbs on the street? Is that how they're standing up for themselves?
That's a jackass position, buddy.
That's
neither here nor there
news
with
for
me
you.
Personally, but...
Well, what I'm talking about.
I understand that might have been out of line, but there might have been something that we don't know about in that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm giving it to the fact that maybe they overacted on both sides.
Uh-huh.
It can happen, you know. There is a cosmic coincidence that two mere wrongs can make a complete wrong.
I don't think that the downtown ordinances are in any way right, and I think if you read them, you'll understand they give the police a blank check to fuck with people. The way that you're talking about driving homeless people, the jackasses out, the fucking drags among them out.
Uh-huh.
I know you're talking
about
that.
You know what I mean?
That.
I know this because there's, I mean, Templeton kicks people out of his camp.
Yeah.
Are you calling him a fascist?
I have described him as an authoritarian who essentially was abandoned by three-quarters of his camp. Yeah, that's the latest analysis. And by the way, for folks who are interested in that, you can come to the meeting of the Santa Cruz Service Corps. Well, it's not really called that anymore, but it's at 6 o'clock today.
So maybe there's a chance that some of the homeless that you're protecting aren't lily white and innocent?
Hey, none of us are lily white.
That they might draw
some
of the attention on themselves?
None of us are lily white and innocent, but you seem eager to run around and blame a lot of homeless people.
No, there are people that I want to get fucking...
Good. Well,
I want to throw them in a fucking garbage can and fucking roll them down the road.
I see. Well, there's some merchants who would agree with you. Maybe you should all get together and work on that.
No. There's people that I have no problem with. There are people out there that are giving great credit to what needs to stay alive.
Uh-huh.
And that is the grassroots struggle of the bohemian individuals, the bohemian lifestyle.
Most of us are somewhere between.
And I salute.
Hello. Most of us are somewhere between the two. Most of us are not angels or devils. We're kind of in the middle, right?
Okay. So let me in closing.
Yeah.
I see the individuals of the bohemian lifestyle, and you know what? I salute those individuals.
Right.
And those individuals are the ones that are driving to get these problems downtown solved because they see it. They're down there every day. Mm-hmm. That's their 6 hours sitting on a bench watching their world around them. And I talk to these people, Robert. I'm not shooting off my hip here.
No, I understand.
I go down there and I talk to these people, and I say, so what have you seen today about this harassment stuff? And he goes, well, that guy over there, he puts his hands around women, strange women. You know what I mean? These girls that are like, you know what I mean? Spasmatics from over in the hill who, like, don't want to be handled by some fucking drunk. And they said, you know, and the guy sits on the fucking bench or sits in that one area all fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And when I hear stuff like that and when I witness stuff similar to that, I can't sit down and agree with you, Robert.
About what?
About not harassing these jackasses that are down there.
I never said any such thing, you know. I'm saying that my concern has to do with the people who are harassing everybody, and mostly...
not everybody. The bohemians aren't... The bohemian lifestyle...
I think
the
police and the merchants...
Do not get harassed, usually,
the police,
because they stay under the radar,
The
Robert.
Police and the merchants regularly harass people downtown under a set of codes known as the downtown ordinances.
If you don't understand that,
we have a disagreement.
Okay. So real quick, do you agree that there is a problem downtown?
There's a problem
in every major city.
Inconsiderate
assholes.
Sure.
But with
there's always
homeless,
yeah.
inconsiderate assholes.
And
who
people
are,
in houses,
who
and people
go
on motorcycles.
There not to enjoy the downtown, but because they can mooch and leech off of others.
There are problems with all kinds of people downtown from all kinds of different classes. You got it. I agree with that.
You understand why I'm up in arms about the dregs, right? I'm not up in arms about the Bohemian homeless.
If we're talking
you
about
can't
if
see
you're all,
a difference
if you're
that.
Also talking about the dregs in the police department, then I agree with you. If you're not, then I don't.
They may overreact sometimes too, but you know what?
They may overreact.
If the
sometimes.
Bohemians policed
yeah,
their own
they may.
And got rid of the dregs, it would be a totally different picture, man. They could really, you know what I mean? Because people that lie under the radar,
I don't know about getting rid of anybody, frankly. Even the police dregs, I don't think they need to be in uniform, but I don't think we want to deny people the right to be in a place. And I think the question is how
I just wanted to exercise your hypocrisy bone today.
Okie doke.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
Well, that's just fine. Okay. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is your hypocritical host, Uncle Robert. Actually, I'm not hypocritical. I think I got a pretty clear position on this stuff. Anybody who's abusive, who is abusive, needs to not be abusive. That's what are you going to say when you get beyond that? To say there's a regular problem of people being abusive downtown to each other. That may well be true, but I think it's aggravated by the fact that there's a polarization that happens because people's rights are regularly messed with. And then there are your standard problems of drunks and people who mess with women and. Unwanted, unasked for, and abusively, and so forth. And I agree with that as well. But I think the way to deal with the issues you hear coming out of these committees don't really address those things. They have to do with a broader attack on street people. That's my concern. So, what I was about to do before this was... I was looking for a little something to... bring to your attention the arrest of two people for chalking. And in order for me to do that, I've got to do a little more futzing around. And so, as I futz, I will look for the vanishing tape, which is always a problem in the studio. Let me see. The one tape you want is always gone. Why don't I instead read you this memorandum from the Steve Hammack. Actually, it's to Steve Hammack from Angela Curtis. These are both apparently employees of Parks and Rec or City or Public Works. And it was sent to me by Chris Crone. This is a memorandum about the benches downtown. Subject, benches on Pacific Avenue. And caller, keep dialing in. I'll answer your call in a moment. As we have discussed, the benches on Pacific Avenue have a long and confused history. Here is what I have found. 41 benches were installed as a result of the redevelopment of downtown. Not all benches were installed at the same time. They were installed and moved over the last 10 years, depending on the original location, merchant requests, and problem situations. As a result, we have 38 benches in various locations downtown and 3 benches at City Hall, for a total of 41. In addition, redevelopment has purchased 4 more benches for Locust Lane, which have not been installed and not counted in the 41 mentioned above. Hope this helps. Angela Curtis. I want to see Christopher Crone look for exactly what's happened to those benches, because I find that really kind of hard to believe, and I don't want to say that Angela's giving us misinformation, but I need to have more information. What's the history of the removal of the benches? Where did they come back, and so forth?
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, I'm one of the dregs. My name is Paul Wagner.
Oh, typical, the lowest of the low. You know, I don't like your abuse, and I find you questionable.
Well, yes, I think we've already established that in private conversation. So would you like me to get off the phone?
Before you get off the phone, let me introduce you so we can know just what kind of a dreg we're dealing with. This is the AHA man, the affordable housing advocate, Paul Wagner, who has been pushing for some kind of changes that would decriminalize... ADUs, accessory dwelling units, and he's also been following the situation around the folks in the trailer parks. Is that the right way to put it? Am I putting it wrong there?
Well, they don't tend to be trailers anymore because...
RV parks?
Okay. that's the, now there we're getting to the key, the definition thing. What we're talking about with Clearview Court in De Anza in Santa Cruz, which is I think what you're talking about, the sale and rent negotiations, those tend to be known as mobile home parks, even though they aren't mobile anymore because the people who put them in have to remove the axes and the wheels and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if one is going to use the term trailer park, that's pretty much more accurate for RV parks. But the residents pretty much prefer mobile home park for the units that don't have wheels and RV park for the units that do. So there we go.
Yeah, well,
look at that definitional clarity within just a moment of the dreg calling in.
Incredible. One of the dregs does it again. You know, I see an interesting article in the local news section of today's Scent Anal, as I call it. Some have called it the Satanal, but I think that's a little too undergaudy for my tastes. This is a Heather Berner article, Mobile Home Rent Control Decision Slipped Through the Cracks.
Yes.
Did you read that article?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this says that the city council sat down with the De Anza Mobile Home June 18th people, and on June 18th talked to them about changing the city's rent control ordinance in order to essentially get the mobile manufactured home communities lawyers off their backs.
That's right.
Is rent control under attack in the De Anza and Clearview Court? Are we in danger of seeing some changes zipping through the council fast that would remove protection for these folks?
If they would go through the council, they wouldn't zip and they wouldn't go fast. Nor do I believe, from knowing these council members pretty well and having talked to both of them about this issue privately as well as publicly, I don't believe that they would abandon protection for the residents. The more likely thing to happen is that the park owners' suits, one of the park owners' multiplying number of suits, will succeed in some court or another, and they'll go waving it around and using it to succeed against some community somewhere, because they're attacking this stuff all over the United States. And
well, they've won and they've lost both in different places.
Yes, usually they've lost. They've lost approximately 95% of their cases,
mm-hmm.
In both states and federal courts.
Mm-hmm.
However, every once in a while they win them, and they have enough money, and they're infuriated enough, justifiably or not, that whenever they win a single case on anything, even if it's not on mobile home rent control, even if it's on state-owned condo rent control, where one has a different set of owners than one has of the property owners, owners of the units rather than the owners of the property, they go waving it around and threaten every single community they can in the United States about how they're going to sue and sue and sue until the things are overthrown.
But you don't see any immediate council action before the August recess?
I don't know, and the reason I don't think we're going to see action, there are two reasons I don't think we're going to see action. The first is that, as Heather Berner commented, is that the negotiations collapsed. The purpose of the negotiations was for them to try and reach some kind of agreement where